Blog Talk Radio.
John Wilson. Yeah, man.
He don't know the right and do it the wrong shall be spanked with many strides. When the heathen have come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
fire
them
will
never be friends.
Fire burn.
You know why? You know why? Yes. Them have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous trod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant.
Shalom, family. Welcome back to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother, Ari Hal. Been away for a while. It's after the family. Been dealing with that, but Yah will be done. Yah has been comforting us, and we've been moving forward, trying to get back into the swing of things, and I know how sometimes won't be coming. I know once you put your mind back into doing Yahweh's will, that he's going to come. But let him come.
Mm.
Let him throw his fiery darts, because Yah will prepare me. And not just me, any of those who want to put their hand to the plow and walk with Yah. I mean, truly walk with Yah as he's your leader. He will prepare you. And there's nothing that the adversary can do to hinder you. Nothing. Not one thing. Only if we allow it. If we allow him to hinder us. But we don't have to. We can move forward. In these days and times, ain't no taking your hands off that plow. In these days and times, you cannot be called out and not showing up for work. And when I mean not showing up for work, that's every single living moment of your life. Because once you have joined yourself to the Father, or in a battle for the rest of your life, once you say, yes, I do, Father, and he proposed to you, you have joined yourself unto that battle for the rest of your life. So don't think just because I'm maybe talking about service. No. The wise man told me once before, he said, when you come to service, is when you learn about the Creator. When you serve him, is when you're outside of the assembly. That's when you truly serve the Creator. When nobody else around, when eyes are not on you, and you're around what you would call the common people, and how you're interacting with them, that's when you serve the Creator. That's when your God should be up even more. Because he will hold you to sleep with this world if you allow him. And we're going to get back into our interviews, because we have started out, and that was the show pointing to always to show Yisrael to the world. That was the thought that the Creator gave me when I first started the show, is to show Yisrael to the world. How better to do that than to interview Israelites. We didn't have shows covering almost everything, from the righteous sister to the virtuous woman, from marriages, from drug use. We didn't have a true Kohanim come on from different congregations. My next show I'm working on now, I'm trying to bring these an international show, where though these Israelites from different continents, to show that our word is true. And we are not all over here in just Western Hemisphere, as some of us like to believe. He said he's going to scatter out throughout the four corners of the earth. So we are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. So I would love to bring together some brothers and sisters from these different continents and how Yahweh is moving in their life. How is it being an Israelite over in Australia, over in France, in Africa, down in Mexico? How is it? But tonight we want to talk to you some priests of Israel. And I have a few here with me tonight. I have a few online tonight, and I'm going to get the brothers to introduce themselves and tell the family a little bit about themselves. Start off to my left over here, to Brother Daywell.
Shalom, family. Brother Daywell. Got anointed by our Rabbi Yaakov El, I believe about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then walking with the Most High about 10 years ago when I heard Rabbi McDaniel answer my questions before I asked him, basically. That brother was truly anointed, and I heard Yahweh's voice and ain't looked back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brother Mariel? Marie, matter of fact. We got nothing but Marie's in here tonight, family.
Brother Marielle, I first came into the truth by former Rabbi, Rabbi McDaniel, and he the one that introduced me to the truth. And I also has been anointed by my brother Yaakov from Beth Yahweh congregation. And I've been walking this way for about 13 years.
Amen. A lot of wisdom here. A lot of wisdom. Who we have online? Shalom to who else?
You calling me?
Yes, sir. Shalom. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been walking this way.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Go ahead and introduce yourself to the family. How long have you been walking this way?
Well, as you know, this is Brother Shafut El. I've been walking this way. Can't put my finger on it, but it's been a while. And as couple of the other brothers talk about hearing Rabbi Daniel, you know, I used to listen to Rabbi, which, as all of y'all know, and that was one special brother.
Amen. Yes, that's the wild man I was thinking about.
Yeah, wise, and you know, I've been walking on the, you know, Brother Yaakov, that's where I really start walking this way. So it's been a while, but you know, as I said, I always been, you know, in the shadows. It's just that, you know, I came out of the shadows a little while, I believe, after Rabbi died.
Yes, yeah. You finished, Jackie?
Yeah.
Tola. Yeah, next. Shalom, huh?
Shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Shalom.
All right, hallelujah. Praise be to the Most High.
Hallelujah.
My name is Brother Yaakov, and I was introduced to this way of life in 1988. Rabbi McDaniel, Gershon McDaniel, He anointed me to become a minister in 1990. And I have been teaching ever since.
Amen. Amen. Toda, Aki. Toda.
Toda, Rabba.
Shalom Aleichem, Aki. Hello? How about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking to me. I got to keep the phone on mute because I got my son with me. Shalom. Shalom. Sorry, I'm
shalom,
too late.
Do you want me to write this? Did that work?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It worked.
Oh, please. How about now?
You have...
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I'm waiting
I'm
on
sorry,
you to introduce yourself to the family and let us know how long you've been walking this way and how long you've been anointed.
My name is Brother Ahab Al. I've been walking this way since about 1991. I was introduced to the faith by a brother that used to attend many years ago when I was at school in New York at Adelphi University. And what was the next question? When was I anointed?
Yes, sir.
I was anointed approximately 4 years ago by the Moray Yakel, the previous brother that spoke.
Yes. Hold on, Aki.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's all right, That's all right. We understand. We're going to start off with that question. How do you balance being a priest with everyday life?
Oh, wow. Through prayer, constant prayer.
I hear you. The babies in the background. You know, and this time I had a priest on, I had a brother Sakaya a couple years old, and he had his babies in the background.
It's a family affair, man. You know, I got to do the daddy thing.
That's right.
Yeah. But prayer, man, that's what it takes every day. And you know, it's not like, you know, things are perfect. You know, my family and the faith that knows me knows that I have my ups, I have my downs, I go through my issues. But, you know, the times when my spirit is strong and I got my good legs underneath me, I make sure that I'm in that word. Not that I'm not in the word every day. You know, even right. my moments when I'm weak, you know, Abba never forsakes me. He's always right. talking to me. It's just sometimes I choose not to listen to him as closely as I listen to him at other times in my life. But that's the first part of being balanced is prayer, because that prayer keeps you in, you know, the connection, keeps the communication line open between Abba and I, and keeping my head in his word, you know, making sure I get scriptures in every day, you know, meditate on his word daily, you know, and every now and then I fast. I don't fast as often as I would like to fast, but, you know, especially after listening to some of my sister's teaching about fasting and feeling like I was having some moments of weakness, you know, praying and fasting does wonders, you know. So that's how it works for me.
Amen. Amen. That's right. It's a very challenging thing to be a priest and an active cross.
Yes, it is.
I know, you know, when you want to get into the word, you got the kids right there, you know. And you, like when I think of the scene when all the kids ran to down shore and the apostles come trying to give them away. And you're like, no, no, no. Suffer the kids to come unto me. And I kind of see that thing going on with you right now. You want to get into the word and get into the conflict, but you got your child in at the same time. Which,
man, you know it.
It's beautiful.
And y'all know about this one. Y'all know about us.
Right.
You got it about this.
Right. I told you. Because you're setting a good foundation.
I'm trying to.
Remember that.
I can't do it.
Thank you, Aki, for that. Beautiful. I'm going to ask for Aki.
Hey, brother, y'all, you know, it's like with prayer. First thing you wake up in the morning, you want to, you know, pray, you know, that allow Yahweh to give you the strength so you can make it through that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he said in the scriptures that he'll be your protection. So basically, you have to ask for that protection each and every day that you walk out there because, you know, Satan is actually trying to fire them fiery darts at you each and every day to get you off of your mind focusing on the Most High.
Amen.
And also, I would ask now that I also understand with, you know, women go through as being like single mothers or a
right.
child because
right.
I have a teenager that, you know, her mother has passed away, and now I have to pick on the role of both of them. And
right.
that's very challenging
right.
to be a father and a mother to your child because you also still need the mother can of your,
that's
you know,
right.
and be a comfort for your daughter.
That's right.
Because, you know, she lost her mother at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother, you know, was young herself.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't balance because she will need that nurturing from a mother. And when she gets to those hard situations, when she missed her mother, I have to be that comfort for her to lead her and guide to and talk to her.
Right.
And always talk to her, allow her to, like, if anything comes up, you have to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in your quiet times, when you're in your down times, you have to talk to your father.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can pray for you, you
right.
know, and strengthen
right.
you. And I'll let her and give her the education on Yahweh is always going to be there for both of them.
Amen.
The strong,
amen.
You know, he's giving me the strength, and he's going to give me the wisdom to give her the strength. So
amen.
He's going to be a better citizen inside in this world.
Amen. Amen. And you know, being a priest, Abba, you're going to always have to experience some things that he goes through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see in your situation where as though he you up, he's mother and father and mother. And, you know, you being a priest, you're going to have to experience that, you know, because
mm-hmm.
how else do we learn? Mm-hmm. You know, Yahushua sure told Nicodemus, if you don't understand these earthly things, you ain't going to never understand these spiritual things. That's a learning process for you right there to understand, oh, this is how I feel,
mm-hmm.
to be both parents. Because
mm-hmm.
Abba is both our parents. You know, but I'm going to switch the question over to Brother Daniel Wells and say, because working and trying to be a priest in these days and times, it ain't like that we are, the nation is bringing us animals just to slaughter on the altar is much different now. How you balance that?
One, you have to keep communication
mm-hmm.
between you and the Most High
mm-hmm.
always active. I work in an area where it's predominantly women,
mm-hmm.
and these are worldly women who get into worldly things, and they can suck you in real quick,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, with the different types of gossip and the different mm-hmm. types of crap that they talk about on TV and
mm-hmm.
this, that, and another.
Right.
So you have to constantly have, as we say here, have your gates guarded.
Right.
You have to learn to basically abstain from that foolishness. And you have to understand that Abba, family, those two,
mm-hmm.
everything else
mm-hmm.
comes after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people will put their job over their family,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times you'll get stuck with a wife or a husband who they call them workaholics.
Right.
And they end up neglecting their spouse in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to strike that balance
at least attempt to strike that balance. Mm-hmm. But just remember to keep your priorities straight.
Right.
You know, if you anything that doesn't have balance,
mm-hmm.
is doomed to fail.
That's right.
You know, even the Bible even talks about how much study causes weariness.
Right.
So you have to balance your studies.
Right.
With, you know, other things.
That's right.
So you can't. You just can't be out of balance.
That's right.
You know, and you know, just keep the lines of communication open, because
mm-hmm.
Yahweh's going to show you where you go to the left and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's up to you to make the corrections.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And what you were saying is so true, because there's that time that if I'm home and it's late, and I'm into the Word, even if I stop reading, the Holy Spirit is still running in my mind, and I can't sleep. It's like you got to shut it off, because your body is a physical thing, but that spirit inside of it will run forever.
Right.
Because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to run forever.
Right.
But that body, it needs rest.
Yeah,
so you got to, like, you got to, whatever you do, you got to shut it off. Well, you'll be up all night long,
mm-hmm.
thinking you went to sleep.
That's right.
You know, I get up 5:00 in the morning. Now I know one of the elders here in Baltimore City, Elder David, talking about he gets very, very little rest. You know, because he does a show on Wednesday night, Wednesday 8:11 a.m. Tonight, brother may be up to them 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Got to get right back up and sick. You know, so you have to balance that out, or you're not going to be no good for us.
That's right.
You know, because you're going to wear this flesh out, which this spirit, it will run forever. And I wanted to get Brother Yakir L on the line to ask him this next question.
Yes.
My King?
Yes.
Is there still an order of the priesthood, and is it necessary?
Yes, there is, if I may.
Yes.
I know that there's a question among many believers, and more specifically, Israelites today, in
mm-hmm.
regards to the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have to understand about being a priest, and I think what happens, a lot of times we get caught up into semantics and these different terms that's used.
Mm-hmm.
But the word Kohen, simply means one officiating. Now, the word officiate simply means to perform the duties or function of some office. In other words,
yep.
what a priest is, simply put, is an official or an officer of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the priests have been given specific duties, and I think a lot of times, as it refers to what they title the Levitical priesthood, the focal point is always the sacrifice, as if that's all the priest did.
Right,
but when you
right.
look in the scriptures, the Bible doesn't teach that that was all that the priest did.
Right.
Of course, sacrifice was a big part of it in regards to the tabernacle and the temple when they were established.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the priest, the scripture says, if we believe it,
mm-hmm.
it says in Malachi 2:7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and
Amen.
They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. What do
Amen.
We do with that passage? Not only was the priest responsible for administering the sacrifices according to that system, but it was the priest who Israel looked to get understanding when it came to the word of the Most High. So is there a priesthood? Yes, there is a priesthood. The priesthood is currently being established.
Amen.
It's the same thing. I just talked to one of the brothers about that, and when we look at people out there who claiming to be priests or religious leaders in general, there's a great lack of biblical foundation to a lot of what they believe.
That's
but
right.
in the process of time, what we're seeing happening is the restructuring or the restoring of a true priesthood. This is the process that's going on at this very moment. And he's calling different people, as you say, at some point you're going to do an international show. He's calling people throughout the four corners of this world. He's raising up his Israel. And within his Israel, he is going to have an order and a structure to teach them his word. That will be the responsibility of the priest. Is it necessary? Yes, because this is the means by which he will teach Israel his law.
Amen. 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 Shola Aki, how would one know, Brother Yakel,
yes,
that he's called? How did he know you was called?
Well, interesting enough, once again, we had this question come up in the Shabbat service this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Simple thing. The Messiah says this: "He has not because he asked not."
Yes.
And I believe one of the brothers, in regards to balancing being the office of the Most High and, you know, day-to-day life, he said prayer was important. Well, prayer is just as important when it comes to seeking knowledge or wisdom or understanding from the Most High. How come we just can't ask the Creator whether or not a person has been chosen and sent by him?
Amen.
Simple thing. You know, it doesn't take a lot of explanation. We've learned that when it comes to his word, simplicity. So we look to, you know, the left and to the right and look to the sky for all these different answers. And the answer is a simple thing. If you don't believe a person is sent, ask the Most High to tell you whether he was.
Amen.
That's all you need to do.
Amen.
And if he telling you it's not proof enough, then I don't know what else to say.
That's right. Ain't too much out there. Tuesday, you can't live to the Most High. You ain't nobody can tell you nothing.
Exactly.
Like John Short told the brother about the parable. Hey, if they ain't listening to Moses and the prophets, they don't need no living to a man coming from the dead.
Exactly.
Amen.
And that's what people need to do. We need to turn to the Most High. We need to fall down. And one thing, with sincerity, with humility, pray and ask for what it is that we want. And
Amen.
We have to ask with the right state of mind and the right intent.
Amen. Brother Benuel.
Amen.
So, Aki, you as an anointed priest, what do you think the message is that the Most High gave you?
The message that he gave me. The name given to me, Deuel,
mm-hmm.
which means known of El or knowledge of El.
Mm-hmm.
So, as of all the prophets within the word, that's what you find I enjoy. I enjoy, you know, all the prophets had their mission, so
mm-hmm.
to speak, within their name.
Mm-hmm.
That's my mission,
mm-hmm.
to gain knowledge of the Most High.
Amen.
And personally, I want the Most High to know me.
Amen.
You know, I want him, when he sees me,
mm-hmm.
I want him to smile.
Amen.
To say, that's my son. You know, that's my servant, Deuel.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, that's my mission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mission that he's given to me is to dispense his knowledge.
Amen.
You know, because, not bragging or nothing, but ever since I was young, things came to me quickly as far as knowledge goes. I understand things.
Mm-hmm.
I grasp things kind of fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was always, I hated school
mm-hmm.
because I would understand something, but the rest of the class didn't understand something, and it would hold me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, man, come on, man. She didn't explain it to you, so let's move on to the next thing.
Right.
But you can't be like that with the Most High.
Right.
You know, everybody learns at a different pace.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I teach, I'm not teaching adults. I'm teaching kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can make the young ones understand, it's a very good chance that the adults understand.
Amen.
You know, so that's just as important as gaining his knowledge, is
mm-hmm.
to know how to dispense his knowledge. Sorry about that. I work at night. That's my alarm.
But knowing how to dispense his knowledge is just as important.
Amen.
You know, to then you know, because Paul said, I didn't come with you with eloquent words.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't use these big words, even though he had a huge vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He'd say he'd rather use words that you can understand.
That's right.
Because right. at that time, he said, hey, a lot of y'all wasn't smart as far as man goes.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all wasn't a bunch of educated folks as far as man goes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I came to you and used all these big words, you would miss it.
Right.
You would miss the point. So, you know, that's how I kind of approach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to say things because my biggest fear is to be misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to understand me and make sure that I'm dispensing the word that the Most High gave me in the correct manner.
Amen. So as far as you can go back in your memory, because we know that the Most High says, I knew you in your mother's womb, you can tell that the Most High was with you as far as that went. Looking at
things now.
Your life now.
Looking at things now.
And how you was developed, even as a child, and the little things that you did as a child, and like you just said, one of them, you love knowledge. I remember you told me that you used to skip school, regular school, and go up to the college because there wasn't one of the
library. Well, not really, the library.
The library.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't go to the college. I wasn't that smart.
Okay, well, that wise man, I got to all mixed up.
Oh.
He told me that the wise man told us so many stories. So
yeah, I
so
was in the library.
Well, go ahead, Archie. Don't let me interrupt you.
Really?
I know you're kind of old. You may not can go back that far.
Well, no, it's one specific incident that I know. You know, that the Most High was with me, you know, really thinking back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't a good young boy. I was always in the trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one night, me and my best friend, we was out stealing cars. I was a bad kid.
Okay.
You know, stealing cars.
Well, yeah.
Doing all kinds of stuff. And we were out there stealing cars, and we were breaking into a car,
mm-hmm.
and it was three people there down the block. And it was three figures that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And one figure looked like it was pointing at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard something go, paka, paka, standing there and going, are they shooting at us?
Mm-hmm.
Paka, 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 paka. I said, man, they shooting at us. Let's run.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran and we left. And about a half an hour or so later, we actually came back to that spot and found all kinds of glass shattered everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, man, we could have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
These people were trying to kill us.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it's not like bullets whizzed by me or anything like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything. I just heard a sound.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thinking back at little instances like that, that's what lets me know that the Most High was with me
mm-hmm.
the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all kinds of just little things
mm-hmm.
where I could have been hurt, I could have been injured,
mm-hmm.
I could have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they the type of things that let me know the Most High has always had his hand on my life. But you don't realize it until he reveals it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even thinking back about stuff like that when I was older and before I knew Yah,
mm-hmm.
hey, it was just luck. Didn't happen. It,
right.
it just wasn't. But you know, when he reveals his purpose for you,
mm-hmm.
then you know and you understand.
That's right. That's right. So, Aki, I'm going to ask you the same question, Brother Mario. How do you know you've been choked?
Through my experience
mm-hmm.
with the Most High.
Amen.
And it's not by just certain things that you just wake up, because at one point, you know my story, I used to be like, I would say a street father.
Amen.
And I was out there doing similar like Paul. He was killing the believers.
Right.
And I was actually doing the same thing in sense of not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then something just, I woke up, or I had a dream, and I woke up one morning saying that I wasn't going to do it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of lifestyle that I was living, you just don't walk away from it.
Right.
Ever in the flesh, I basically would say. And
right.
I just woke up one morning and said I wasn't going to do it no more, but it wasn't over me. It must have been the spirit that's on me that told me to convict me of stop doing the things that I was actually was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had stopped, you know, I had stopped actually doing the things I did because now I understand. But the thing about it, he gives you things at that point, but you don't understand it.
Right.
I just never understand it until I start walking this way,
right,
and it
right.
was revealed to me.
Right.
You know, because I have a gift selling and service, you know, and that was doing the bad. But I also have it, and he gave it to me to serve him also. And I had learned that as I start walking this way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but this was the kicker that it's like, you know, it was one summer night that me and a friend was down there talking.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, it was like 100 degrees, and a guy came down the street with a hoodie on. And I told my friend, like, it's 100 degrees. I said, this guy coming down with a hoodie.
Right.
What happened?
Right.
Before I looked up, he was in front of us. So the guy with the hoodie, he killed my friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he shot him at least about 10, 11 times. And I was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at first you, like, paused, and I took off running. But what came to mind at night, that now that I can recall, that why he didn't kill me? Why did Yahweh spare my life at that time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't spare my time, I had something for me, I wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
So it's something that he had for me
Amen.
Back then, and now I can see it here
Amen.
In the future. I mean,
Amen.
Now the present I'm in today. But that's what it is. And he showed me the things that I was doing bad. He turned it around and made it for good for him.
Amen.
You know, and
Amen.
The first question that you ask me is like, the mission or what he gave me is more like to be a server. First be a server
mm-hmm.
and obey his voice
right.
and draw the people, link the people into him by being a light and showing the people him,
Amen.
An image of him in me,
Amen.
My everyday life, you know, because everywhere you go, everybody is watching, you
right.
believe it or not. And certain things that he tells you to wear,
mm-hmm.
certain things that you do, people was going to question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly like we say, yeah, we're random for our stuff because that's what the Torah says, but
mm-hmm.
we also read it for others so they
mm-hmm.
can question you
mm-hmm.
about why you're wearing this, and then you can drop that seed and then
right.
somebody else will come on water and, you know,
right.
you get the increase.
That's right.
So
that's
there's
right.
a lot of things in our everyday life that we do is not a vein of him. It's just emulating the Most High of a
right.
reflection of him.
That's right.
You know, every day because
right.
we on display for the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't on display for ourselves. And the message that I'm saying he gives is the same one he gave when Messiah left.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the people back to repent and turn back to him.
That's right.
You know,
right.
because this scripture that I always say, how can you walk together unless you agree with him?
Mm-hmm.
Not agreeing with each other because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of bickering about this and that. And then you, about, you know, the name,
mm-hmm.
the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
the fringes, and
mm-hmm.
all that. But even though all that is important, but the Messiah said, repent.
Amen.
And that's where the message is. The message is repent.
Amen.
And turn your way back to the Most High.
That's right.
Because
that's
the Most High
right.
wants to, he said he's coming back. He's going to straighten everything out. We can't
right.
do anything.
That's right.
We can assume to say this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But who is listening to the Most High or what he is saying?
That's right.
Because it ain't nothing about opinions if it ain't lining up with those scriptures.
That's right.
And that's what our life has to do. We have to line up with those scriptures.
Amen.
Now, when you line up with those scriptures, nobody can say anything.
That's right.
Because when you line it up with those scriptures, you line it up there with the Messiah.
Amen.
Because he is the scripture.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, just on knowing you for almost 30 years now, you know, and what you said was so true. You know, on your life alone and what I know of you, and your name is Mari'al, manifestation of Yah, is you don't get out that game just like that. And say if you're a layman, you get out that game, but not to the level that you was on. I'm not going to put it all out there, but the level that you was on and the weight that you was doing, they don't just let you out that gate like that. You just don't get out that gate. And that's a dangerous game, and we showing the manifestation of Yahweh. Because when people see you today, and when they know where Keith used to be, and they see Mariel now, boy, you still rolling? They see you riding, the minivan now. And you used to be around here and big stuff. They can't believe you riding the minivan. Right. That must be a gimmick right there. You're riding the minivan. Yeah, I know that dude right there back in 88. He had the biggest on the block. That's a gimmick right there. No, that's the manifestation of Yahweh.
Hallelujah. And
Yahweh can take drug dealers. He can take ex-car steals, people who steal cars, and he can use them for his good. You know, Yahweh can do that. You know, because he wants people to know it's not by everybody else's power, it's not by your power, it's by his power. You know, and that's where I see out there, brother. I see the manifestation of Yahweh. So when a person who known him from yesterday, he start kicking over. What you into now? I'm into the scriptures now. Just I'm giving you the word. Created now. I'm not trying to give you a quick high. I want you to be high for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to give you this word right here. But I'm going to ask the same question to Brother Harvell. Shalom.
Shalom. Repeat the question again for me.
What is the message that the Most High given you?
Oh, man. The message that the Most High has given me, I would honestly say, is one of love and one of unity. Now, he knows that my biggest heart's desire is to see Israel of all nations, all sorts of diversities and colors. That's what I want to see together. I want to see us hand in hand, arm in arm, like that song we sing, you know, we're the children of the kingdom. You know, if you see us, come and take our hand. And when we're walking through the land, that people will see us. And the spirit that comes from him that we emit, that people will feel a desire to grasp onto that and to learn of him. You know, that's what I would like to see. And I mean, when I say that, I really mean I don't care what color you are. I don't care how tall, short, skinny, fat, what, you know, whether you're male, female. I just want to see people receive this gift from the Almighty, and that is to have a relationship with him. That's what I would like to see, you know. But I personally have a lot of work that he has to do with me because, you know, I got to change daily. You know, he can use you for that, you have to be that willing vessel for that to take place. But that's what I would like to see. And that's the thing I want people to feel whenever they're around me. I want them to feel welcome. I want them to feel good, and not that, you know, sometimes it has to be like tough love and things like that, but that's what I want people to feel from me. You know, I want them to want to be in my presence because they feel something spiritual when they're around me. When I say spiritual, I mean something genuine from the Most High.
Amen. 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 Shalom, Shafu L.
Awesome.
Shafu L.
Hello.
Shalom, my king.
Hello.
Did you hear the question or you want to finish?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What would be the message that the Most High gave you?
What would be the message you said?
Yes, sir.
For me, what I mean, it's as I said before, you know, it's been a long road, but I would have to give a lot of credit to my wife, my Isha.
Amen. Amen.
You know, because, you know, when I mean, runs afar, it directs me in the path that I need to be on.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes, you know, we might know where how the future lies, but certain things that come into your life to direct you onto the path that you need to get on.
Yes.
And that was a direction for me. It's not that, you know what I mean, I listened to a couple of the brothers talk, you know, I was doing a lot of stuff I shouldn't be doing. But you know, I get out, you know, and by not knowing that, you know, it's all the works of the Messiah that gets me out of stuff that I was doing. But but you know, what was the question you asked me again?
What would be the message that the Most High gave you?
What would be the lesson?
The message.
Oh, the message. Okay. Yeah, I kind of, I'm on the road, so bear with me. I'm not hearing too good. Well, it's simple. It's simple for me, and it might be simple and kind of difficult because, you know, me personally is a simple, plain person. So, you know, the message for me is spreading the word to people that going into the trenches. And you know, a lot of times people might get on my case because they might say, "Man, you're wasting your time. You know, you working with people that you know, it's just, you know, cast your foot and keep it moving." But you know, it's different for me because I guess because how I come along, because
right.
The good thing about it is just spreading the word. You know what I mean? If somebody take it and run with it, that's a blessing, you know, that's a soul you serve. But, if you know, it's not a problem for me. You know, I'm going to keep plugging with the ones that probably need it most. You know, the ones that people would probably walk away and say, "Nah, man, that's a waste of time, man. You're beating on a rock there, you know." That's the message that I think is given to me to spread that word to the ones that the rocks, to deal with the rocks.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
To deal with the rocks, because you know, as I said, you know me, I'm you know, I don't read a lot like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So. Me personally, what I mean, verse and scripture and stuff like that, yeah, some of them I could give you, but most of them is coming from memory, things that I remember, you know what I'm saying? So I could deal with the common person, not saying that the common person don't know the scripture, because some of them do. But they don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? So they could quote some verses for you, but they don't understand it. And that's where the role I play in, because I might be able to explain to somebody, although they might say, "Well, man, you know what you talk." Okay, so go and research it. Go and look for yourself. And that's what they do. You know,
right.
Or they will come back saying, "Well, yeah, but you know, you always get the but." You know, so
yeah,
I believe that's the message that you know, that me personally, you know, get from Yahweh, you know.
Amen. Amen. And you know, from knowing you for the last, what I guess, 10, 15 years, and being around you, but what you were just talking about was patience. So, and that's why the Most High gave you that name, because Shafu'el, you know, meaning to be the judge. And what judges do, all day long, they have to have patience, because all they're doing is sitting and hearing and judging. So you can't just be out there giving up on people, as you said, some people say give up on some people. You're hearing their case. And even when they're not understanding the law, you coming back and you explaining the law to them. So you're right on point, Aki. And Yahweh, he's never wrong. He's never wrong. I'm going to ask Brother Yahki on the same question. Shalom, my king.
Shalom. Shalom.
What's the message?
The question. As far as the message?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If I may, yes, I'm sure that the brothers and sisters of the camp have heard before. But years ago, before I was even anointed, Rabbi, he invited the brothers of the congregation at that time to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, me being a newbie, you know, still fresh,
mm-hmm.
had no desire to do such a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, interested in learning, just like everybody else that comes there. Once you hear him teach, you just want to sit, you want to learn, you want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, when I was home, and I was just doing some studying, and the information, the word, began to come very quickly, so quickly that I didn't have enough time to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's how fast it was coming. And no sooner than that happened, I was on the phone. I called one of the other brothers, and I told him to let Rabbi know that I wanted to teach.
Amen.
And what I was studying at that time was about the unity of Israel.
Amen.
And that's my first lesson that I ever taught, was about the unity of Israel, Israel coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the strong points or messages, if I may, that has been very near and dear to my heart, because when you think about the people of the Most High, you don't see a unified Israel today. So it's a message that's still valid, you know, when you think about the prayer of the Most High, when he was about to lay down his life.
Yes.
He prayed and he asked that we all be made one as he and his Father are one. So that's always an important message, the coming together, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message that the Most High has given to me. One of bringing his people together that we may serve him and that we may worship him with the fullness and unity of heart and mind by his Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So you've been walking this way for the last 25 years, about right?
Yes, sir, round about.
And when you came in, to see another Israelite was far through in between. Because I know it was that way for me, and I've been walking this way for a good 15 years. So I know it was far and few in between for you.
Sure.
You're looking out at the nation of Israel. But when you look out there today and you see the nation of Israel, it's almost like an epidemic. Like somebody said, look, there's a
woodwork.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the nation of Israel today?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is that the word of Yah is true, you know.
Yeah.
For so long, our brothers and sisters, and we, to some degree, touched on this a little bit, this passage about as well. But for so long, our brothers and sisters have been lying dormant. You know, and even when you look at the current Hebrew Israelite movement, as the brother had brought out in one of the Bible studies we had fairly recently. We're talking about maybe around the mid to the late 1800s when black folk started to practice the Hebraic way of life. So it's still to some degree kind of sort of new, you know, in that sense. But like you were saying, when I first became a believer, we would study a lot of information that was put out by Herbert Armstrong, which was the Worldwide Church of God, and Brother Joe Cruz, who was the one of the teachers of Amazing Facts. And the reason why we were drawn to those brothers is because they were the only ones that we knew of that was really teaching, keeping the commandments. There was another brother up in Bethel, Pennsylvania. The Assemblies of Yahweh are headed by Elder Jacob O'Meara. He was another one that we used to get literature from. But as far as finding other believers, I mean, well, not believers, but people of color who were walking this way, I was left to believe that we were the only ones at some point. But then we started to come across some information. I'm sure many Israelites are familiar with Rudolf Windsor. He put out a few books, Babylon of Timbuktu, you know, The Valley of Dry Bones, things like that. And then we started to find out that there were other Israelites out there. We've had many visitants from different camps, you know, but what was happening or what was going on, that's like we have today. And you asked me about the state of Israel today. We are still divided, you know, because what's happening, when you look at religion today, everybody has, and I'm kind of rehashing some things we talked about recently, but everybody has their own interpretation. And it's nothing new. You know, when you look at something that Brother Paul wrote, he says, when y'all come together, everybody has their own song, everybody has their own interpretation. I mean, the Corinthians or the early assemblies, they dealt with the exact same thing. So it's nothing new. But we're living in a day and time, and this is a thought that the Most High put on my heart last night during the broadcast. We are in that day and that time. When you think about the creation, and when you think about on that third day when he created the vegetation, and the scripture said he created the grass, and then he created the herb, yielding seed. And then the next thing he said was the fruit tree, the seed within itself.
Yes.
You know, and we're in that day. We're in that time that he's raising up people, and that's why you see such an awakening of black folk coming to the awareness of who they are. Part of it is somewhat of a fad, it would appear, because people jumping on a band like, hey, I'm an Israelite. Hey, I'm an Israelite too. But what's actually taking place is we see the word of Yah being fulfilled. At some point, and I'll tell you who, I'm going to tell you who knows this. The white Jews. And this is something that we learned years ago. They are expecting that return. So they already have it in place. In order for us to be accepted, we have to be converted. But there's no need for a conversion on our behalf.
No.
We're just simply returning to a way that we lost thousands of years ago.
Yes.
But there's an awakening going on, brother. And I was talking to another brother earlier today, and the word of Yah is going to be fulfilled. The answer, he hears this conversation as he hears every other broadcast. And he's getting his armies together for when we go out there and we are willing and able, because we're ready. We're getting ready right now. When we go out there, we're going to show that we're willing and that we're able. And he's going to be waiting. My word of encouragement to my brothers and my sisters, stand strong and stand firm on that word, because Yah is mighty one and Yahushua is captain of the gods.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we will be well protected. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Toda Aki, Brother Daniel, what is to you?
Israel, to me, is the namesake of the Most High. It's his family. It's his chosen people. The guardians of his word. The saviors of this world.
Amen.
The educators of this world.
Amen.
The revealers of the Most High to this world. Israel is everything.
Amen.
When he gave that name, and one of the definitions of it is one, or the prince that shall rule us out.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he gave rulership within that shows what we are to be in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We are to be the ones who administer his law.
Yeah.
If there's any confusion about his law,
mm-hmm.
his statutes of judgment, we are the ones who are to clear up that confusion.
Yeah.
We're everything.
That's right.
We encompass everything in this world when we talk about Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the chiefs.
That's right.
That's who we are. And that's what Yahweh is making us.
That's right.
It's going to be greater than what we see now.
Amen.
You know, because what you see now is, like the brother said, you see a scattered and confused Israel.
Yes.
But when they receive order,
mm-hmm.
when they get back to the order, and mm-hmm. it's funny that, you know, that was the first question talking about, is there a priestly order? Well, yeah, there's order for everything.
Amen.
Yahweh is an orderly bell.
That's right.
You know, everything has its place.
Amen.
Everything has its time. Everything has its season. So when we get back into Yahweh's order, then Israel will shine. People will see exactly what that name is.
Amen. Totally. Brother Mario, what's Israel to you?
Israel to me is the teachers of the Most High.
Amen.
And also what came to mind when you said that, when Joel was speaking, made me think about the, what you just talked about. Ezekiel talks about those dry bones.
Amen.
And when dry bones, he said, can you feel these dry bones? Mm. He said, I know that you can.
Yeah,
and let you know that is the Israel that he's going to rise back up.
Amen.
To do the things that he needs to do for the Most High.
Amen.
And this time, and that you can see it now, how all the Israelites is rising up now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And knowing the word, because like you said, like we were talking to the brother earlier, Brother Yaqael, when he came in, there weren't a lot of Israelites at that point when he was
mm-hmm.
coming in. And
mm-hmm.
I have a brother on my job. He's an Israelite too.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked it. He said he always thought he was alone.
Right.
Now,
right.
Like it goes back to what Elijah said on the mountains, open up your eyes so you can see.
Right.
So he's now is opening up the world eyes to see that my people is up on the uprise.
Mm-hmm.
To
mm-hmm.
see who Israel is, who is my firstborn, who is my chosen.
That's right.
And now that the Most High is getting involved with Israel, but Israel also has to do that part.
That's right.
You know, and we have
that's
to
right.
come out of the same way our forefathers did in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see it, like you said, the beginning from the, it's like no, like Solomon said,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
We see that
Amen.
Old Israel back in there, and we see our people that's out in the streets right now doing the same exact thing.
That's right.
Worshiping idols.
That's
you know,
right.
calling
right.
on false deities,
mm-hmm.
seeing false prophets rise
mm-hmm.
up in all these churches,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's Israel out there.
That's right.
You know,
right.
selling your brother.
That's right.
Robbing your brother. Not being a caretaker for your brother. Not
right.
helping people.
That's
not
right.
looking out for the poor. And this is Israel out there today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Elgov has been Israel is being the light for the Most High and be that spokesperson for the Most High.
That's right.
And put the people of the Israelites,
mm-hmm.
like he said in the scripture, also said talking about
mm-hmm.
grafting in.
That's right.
Now,
that's
graft
right.
those people in and give them the ways of the Most High until they have to, exactly, Israel today has to give them go by the laws, statutes, and the judgment.
That's right.
And tell that that's
right.
what Israel is.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So God. I'm going to ask Brother Harvell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What is Israel to you?
What is Israel to me?
Mm-hmm.
Israel is the family of Yahweh. You know, when the scriptures talk about that he has given us our surname, well, how do you get someone's surname? You have to be part of a family, you know?
Right.
And that's what I see it as, that once you truly become Israel, and I'm not just talking about by saying I am Israel, but once you truly possess that spirit, that character, that mentality, that you start to reflect our Heavenly Father.
Right, right.
That's when you become that you become worthy of that name Israel.
Right.
Not just about, you know, some cliche type of thing that you just pick up because now that's the next fad, that's the new thing, this is the new black movement. No. That's not how it works with Yahweh. He wants
that's
people
right.
that are going to represent him and represent him the way he deserves to be represented, not represented based on how you feel he should be represented, you know, based on your flesh and, you know, and your doctrine, but represented based on the way that he wants, because he gives us very specific ways, very specific about how he wants us to reflect him. And, you know, when you look at the scriptures, that's primarily what the scriptures are about, how Israel has not reflected him. And whenever we see these things rise up among these different camps and, you know, among people calling themselves Israel, well, they are showing why Yahweh had to put all that information down in the books, because most of what you see in the scriptures is about how Israel messed up.
Right.
And how very few along the way actually did what he required of them to do and represented him in a way that would make, as we would, as some of us want to make our parents proud, whether it was mama, whether it was papa, you know, you always want to do something to make your parent proud. Well, that's what Yahweh is looking for. Those who are going to make him proud by representing his name the way he wants it represented, not the way we want to represent him. You know, but that's what Israel means to me. Israel means being part of a family. I got brothers that I consider to be my blood brothers through the faith. I'm closer to you. I'm closer to Deuel. I'm closer to Yaqael. I'm closer to Sephuel than I am to my own blood brother and sister. I'm closer to my sister Malka than I am to my own blood sister.
Amen.
Y'all have taught me lessons. Y'all have been there for me. Y'all have kept me. Y'all have chastised me when I needed chastising. You know, y'all have prayed for me and fasted for me when I needed prayer and fasting, when I needed an ear to listen, when I needed a shoulder to cry upon. My brothers and sisters have been there for me. You know, so that's why I say it means family to me. I couldn't have gotten this anywhere else. I couldn't have got this from lifelong friends. I couldn't have got this from people I've known. I've known people. I've met my brother Mar'al my first week on the job. You know, we used to talk about basketball. We used to talk about PlayStation games. Our game used to be Siphon Filter and all that type of stuff. I never knew meeting that brother then. Just seeing him when I went into the cafeteria, that would blossom into the thing that we have today, where that brother has seen me doing wrong and has said to me, brother, you need to correct your ways. That's a brother who loves you when he will stand it and not tell you, hey, every time you're doing good, but a brother that will tell you, hey, man, you need to tighten up. You need to straighten up. You misrepresent Yahweh. That's a friend indeed. You know, that's a brother, one who looks out for your soul. And that's what I know I have in Beth Yahweh. That's what it means to me. I have brothers and sisters who look out for my soul's welfare. And I say hallelujah to that. That's what Israel means to me.
Hallelujah, Aki. Hallelujah. You said it beautifully, Aki. You said it beautifully. And you said this to me one time before. We were standing outside after service, and you said, we're not a congregation, we're a nation.
That's right.
Stuck out to me. Because a lot of people think about, when you think about going to church, quote-unquote church, or being an Israelite, they think about congregation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about Israel, or understanding who Israel truly is, Israel is not a congregation, it's a nation. In what other words you can say for a nation, it's a big family.
Mm.
A big family.
Amen.
That's what it is. is a nation, and not just a nation, it's an army.
That's right.
Army.
That's right.
He said in the brother's quote of Ezekiel, he said he saw an exceedingly great army.
That's right.
You want to build an army now that you're thinking about going to war.
That's
you're
right.
You're thinking about defending something. You ain't just making no army just to have an army. There's no standing
that's right.
army with an army. You're making an army to do something with. So it's
amen.
A nation. But I thank you for that answer. I can't want to ask Brother Yakiel the same question. Hello, my king.
Hello, hello.
What is Israel?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Shalom.
Okay. What's the question again?
What is Israel to you?
What is Israel? Well, I agree with everything that the brother just said. First
mm-hmm.
and foremost, Israel is a family.
Yeah.
You know, whenever they mention, matter of fact, the Most High is often mentioned in connection with being the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those
yes.
are our forefathers.
Yes.
Scripture says how Israel, which was actually Jacob's name, a lot of times people, they forget that. It was his
mm-hmm.
personal name. They went down into Egypt, a family of 70 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they emerged from Egypt, a
mm-hmm.
nation of hundreds of thousands. So
yes.
first and
yes.
foremost, Israel is just that, a family. Secondly, when we look at Israel as being a nation, included in that with something that you just said, he's created an army. Because in addition to the family aspect, in addition to the nation aspect, Israel was created for a purpose. We look at the name itself.
Mm-hmm.
He who rules as mighty one.
Yes.
We
yes.
are the representative of the creator of the heavens and the earth on this planet. That's what Israel is. If I
yes.
may, my brother, can I read a passage?
Yes, yes.
This passage comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. And this is
yes.
when the Most High is instructing Moses to present Israel with his covenant. And this is what he says. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now, when we just take that part, and I'm not going to be all day with you, my brother.
Take your time, Ike.
Israel was an eyewitness to the power of the Most High.
Yes.
He says, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. When you think about eagles, see, and one of the brothers mentioned, matter of fact, I believe it was you again earlier. Although the brother may have been out in the streets slanging whatever he was slanging, he did
mm-hmm.
that temporary fix. Now what it is that he's slanging is that word. And the high that you
mm-hmm.
want to give the people is one that's comparable to the height of an eagle. That's what we're talking about.
Yes,
so
yes.
He lifted us up, like the scripture said, he brought us up and out. This is what he's doing to Israel. And now when he said, and brought you unto myself, think about it as that union between that man and that woman. Because
amen.
At this time, the Most High is the husband, and Israel is his wife, about to enter into that covenant with him. He says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, if, that's the stipulation,
mm-hmm.
and keep
mm-hmm.
my covenant, in other words, honor my agreement, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, all the earth is mine. This is
amen.
Israel. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Because you're talking about priests tonight, right, brother?
Yes, sir.
See, the
yes,
whole
sir.
Nation of Israel, in comparison to the rest of the world,
a priest, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation set apart. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the sons of Israel. A lot of times we don't even fully understand who we are.
Amen.
Being the servants of the Most High. And last thing, my brother, and I'm done. I believe it was Brother Yuhana who said, who wrote. He says, although we don't appear,
amen,
nevertheless, we are the sons of Elohim. And that's what we are.
Yeah.
We are the children of the Most High. People don't see it, though. But in time, they will, because at some point, we're going to appear just like him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm going to stay with you on this last question here. Maybe, you know, whatever, however the Spirit Yahweh leads. How do you feel about being a priest of Yahweh, personally?
Honestly speaking, as in life, you have to deal with the good and the bad. Overall, I feel grateful, number one.
Amen. Amen.
That he had even considered that somebody like me could even represent him, because I'm a sinner. And I am. And that's one of the things that the Most puts before my face on a day-to-day basis, how much of a sinner I am. But in spite of the fact that I'm a sinner, no different than Moses was, no different than any other prophet was, no different than David was, who was a man after the Most High's own heart. But we are all sinners, number one. And the whole the idea of the Creator and the of the heavens and the earth choosing somebody like me, I'm grateful. And when I say as far as the good and the bad, one of the major struggles that I often go through personally is questioning whether or not, did you really choose me? I mean, is this for real, for real? Is this the, you know, the mighty one we read about when we read those stories from Genesis to Revelation? You mean the one who inspired those men to write that book? You picked me?
Yes.
That's how I feel a lot of times.
Yes.
You know, and that's, you know, you're good. You're, but sometimes you're gung-ho and you're on fire and you're excited about being a servant of the Most High. But then sometimes the adversary, he plays on those emotions and he plays on those questions. You feel bad sometimes, you know?
Yes.
Because living this life, I mean, we talked about it. It's not an easy lifestyle.
No.
You know, we're fleshly. We are part of the world. We're in the world, but we have to be separate from a lot of the things that we in our flesh long to do. You see? And that's, you know, the dying process that we talked about. And as you die away from lusting after the things of the world, what you realize is that the world actually hates you. And nobody wants to be hated. And that's where a lot of difficulty comes in as well. Because they don't understand. They hate you, but they don't understand. Think about what the Messiah said. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And that's how it is sometimes, living this life, you know. You understand what the word says in regards to how through much tribulation you're going to enter into that kingdom. But sometimes it hurts. And even the Messiah himself, as an example to that, you know, hold up, brother. You know, sometimes people think, yo, you are serving in the Most High. You're supposed to hate evil. And I agree with that. That's what the Bible teaches. But when it came time for him to lay his life down, even the humanity within him, in him crept up. Father, let this cup pass. Find some other way to do it. That's what he was saying. But then he had to admit and learn that. And he and I believe part of the reason why that happened is so that when we have these struggles that we are going to go through, We can turn back and we can look and we can see he had that struggle too. But at the end of the day, what did he do? He submitted. And that's what we all should do at the end of the day. And we take it one day at a time. While we are awake and we living in this moment, deal with today. When tomorrow
Amen.
You get here, if you're alive to see tomorrow, then you deal with that. But deal with what you need to do for the Most High today. Like the sister author closes up her show. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
So we
Amen.
Live our lives like we're not even going to be here the next day. And we have to learn and we have to condition ourselves to be that way, you know. But overall, I'm grateful that the Most High has chosen me.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
I y'all know there's nothing I love more than being able to teach his word. I love it.
That's right.
I love to share the things that he shares with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. You know, because I just think it's amazing. Some of the things that he has and the way he has placed it, the orchestrated and strategized and made that word. Oh, it's a beautiful thing when you allow him to reveal it, you know. But
hallelujah.
I'm grateful and I feel privileged, my brother.
Hallelujah. I'm grateful, too, that he chose
hallelujah.
You. Yeah. I truly am, as I was talking, because me and the brothers, we always talking, you know, not as much lately because some things that happened, but we're getting back in order. And we was me and our brother, I think it was, we was talking about you, like, we think our lives have turmoil and fiery dust thrown at them. Think about Brother Yaquiel Life, who's being the spiritual leader of this part, of this camp. How much more spiritual coming on you? And I was like telling the brother, well, you know, the scripture says, pray for your elders.
Mm-hmm.
And I
encourage
all of us to pray for our elders. Those
Hallelujah.
Who have been sent over, because we can't imagine the things that Satan would want to do with you. But because his mercy is renewed every day,
Hallelujah.
We don't even see it. Not just with you, but with us as believers too. But more
That's
so
right.
with you. You know, because you have a task of leading the people. And that's not an easy
Amen.
Task. You know, you have a Amen. Task of hearing that word, and not saying that we don't, because you hear somebody out there, well, we all hear that word, yes, but like we've been taught, and like as the scriptures teach, there is an order. There always
okay.
will be an order with Yahweh's word.
Yeah.
It ain't
right.
like what the Muslims teach, or you can go to the throne for yourself. No, you can't.
Amen.
Because if you ain't humble enough to think that you are a sinner, he said a sinner's word, I don't even hear. So
right.
first and foremost, you have to be humble enough to know that you are a sinner. And one of the reasons,
right.
if when people come to our congregation, Mario, I brought a brother the other day, and the brother heard your story, and he heard when you was up there teaching, and when you did something wrong, you said what you did wrong. You wasn't up there
right.
like you don't stink, and that's what I loved about you. And
Hallelujah.
The wise man. Because they said the first thing he taught, you want to be a great teacher? Empty your life.
That's
Let
right.
your life be an open book. Because
That's
if
right.
not, Satan will have a field day with you.
Yes, he
In
will.
In your mind. What did he tell Peter?
That's right.
Satan wished to sift your mind, Peter, to sift you like wheat. But he said, open
Amen.
Yourself. Tell your weaknesses.
Amen.
Tell your shortcomings.
Yes.
So I'm thankful for that. And thankful that he
Hallelujah.
Chose. And I'm
Hallelujah.
Thankful for the elders that he set me under.
Amen.
The good times and the bad times. Even the chastisement.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
We have to be humble first and foremost to do this walk. Because if you ain't humble,
That's right.
you can't do this walk. You are lying
True.
To yourself.
True.
And I don't care who you are or where you think your status is at, you are lying to yourself. So I want to
Amen.
Thank you for that, Aki.
Well, I appreciate that, my brother.
Hallelujah.
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 Oh, no.
I'm going to talk to my brother Harv Allen.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel, Aki, about being a priest of Yah?
I don't know if I could express it any better than how Yaka'el just expressed it. It is, oh, man, sometimes overwhelming, sometimes so intimidating. Sometimes it's so humbling when you think about, wow, Abba, you know, you think about your life and, you know, and some of the foolishness and some of the stupid things that I did, you know, with my life. And it's like, wow, Yahweh, I mean, what do you find worthy in me? What do you find worthy in me to even consider me to have a relationship with me, you know, to consider me to be a part of your family, to be a part of Israel, you know? And it just sometimes, man, I got to confess it openly. It makes me cry. It does,
yeah.
Man. It brings me to tears because it's like a song that we used to sing. How can you show me such bountiful mercy? You know that song, Baruch Hashem Adonai. And it's like, wow, Yahweh, you know? And I just sometimes just bless his name because my life could have went in several different ways, man. But for some reason, a while ago, he decided to bless me with knowing his name and knowing his son. And
yes,
it's humbling sometimes, man. It's humbling. It really is. It's just like,
Yes.
Like I said, I can't describe it any better than Yaakov described it, man. You know, like when you think about Abraham and that, you know, I'm part of his family. When you think about Isaac, I'm part of his family. I'm part of Jacob's family. Mommy's right there. You think about all of this, all of those people in the scriptures, Yahushua, Peter, Paul, John, Timothy, you know, all these folks, and to think that, you know, at some point I can be associated with them, whether it's 2,000 plus years down the line, that, wow, man, you know, I'm part of this, you know, and it's humbling. It's humbling. And I just hope I can fulfill my father's will and represent him well.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, there you are. It's as the brother said, it has its ups and downs, you know, being a priest. But through it all, I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, I know in the end, all the pain that you go through, and it's a lot of pain involved in this life. It's a lot of denying yourself. It's a lot of lessons you have to learn and things that you have to understand with the Most High. You know, even though, you know, even Paul talks about glorying through tribulation.
Right.
You know, that's a lesson.
That's right.
But in the end is where you want to get. You want to get to that point. Then it's not so painful.
Right.
You know, you want to take in everything that the Most High has to offer you. You want to learn all the lessons that he has for you and apply them.
Right.
And learn to separate the meat from the bone. Right? That's where I'm at now, you know, learning to separate the meat from the bone. Learning to understand that all these things are working for my good.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's a hard lesson to learn. But, you know, with time and with patience and with effort, you know, it'll get there.
Right.
You know, because all I'm doing is living life.
Right.
Until I ain't got to live it no more. You know, once I close my eyes, that's the end of that. That's the end of my chapter. And when I close my eyes, I want to open them up again to hearing
well done, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
So, you know, the word said, desires the office of a deacon or a priest desires a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's many benefits to it, but it's a lot of hardship, too.
Right.
You know, it truly is. It's a lot of hardship, too. But the good definitely outweighs the bad.
That's right.
You know. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would not trade it for anything. I'm very thankful that the Most High called me to do His will. However He sees fit to use me, use me.
Amen. Amen. Brother Maria, how do you feel? I can show you.
I feel thankful. And it's like words can't even explain, you know, because I look at it like, you know, the scripture today. Many of us call us or chose.
Amen.
And that's it. Head out in His spirit that His busy schedule and everything that He do, that He looked down and just chose me to be a servant of Him, to try to draw His people back to Him. And made me think about Him even having a relationship with Him,
right.
You know, introducing Himself to me,
right.
You know, explaining His scriptures to me, and learning His word, like from an experience.
Yeah.
So he'll tell me when we get that. You know, it's just, like the brother said, it make you cry sometimes that out of everything that He do, He looked upon on you and chose you to do something for Him.
Amen. Amen.
It's more like He chose you. I didn't choose Him. You know, I was out there for whatever, and He called me to do a task for Him. And I was just thankful that I listened to His voice and was able to help, you know, assist Him in doing the things that we bring Israel as, you know, flag as a whole.
Amen.
You know, and it's like all about me lining myself orange right, because it's in the flip side.
Yeah.
You know, you seem to know sometimes you feel so good and you this and that. But Most High will strip all of that and show you who you truly are.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so most likely you have to, like, you control yourself because, you know, it's basically it gets yourself right before you can actually get somebody else right. So through your experience, you can teach from the experience that you went through.
That's right.
So another brother or another sister don't have to go through those things.
That's right. That's right.
So
that's
it's
right.
Like, it's been a blessing. And I'll leave it at that. It's been blessed.
Hallelujah. And for anybody out there who think this walk is easy, think you just going to jump on a bandwagon and peaches and cream is building your life, it's just the opposite.
Yes, sir.
It's just the opposite, as the brothers brought out. It's not peaches and cream. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it when you are able to see life and it becomes simple to you. Understand what I'm saying. You may be the poorest man on the block. You may be working from check to check. But like the brother said, don't live for tomorrow. His life has become simple to him. Why? Because you're becoming to master this flesh. And this flesh is what holds believers from being good believers. That's what holds us back, is this flesh. Whether it be fear, whether it be your own lust, your own desires, or whether it was the same word, selfishness, whether it be one of those three. But selfishness and fear is at the root of all of it. Because people just don't want to change. We just want to hold on to us. Even, I don't care how long you've been walking this way. You have to admit at times that what Brother Paul said, I die daily. But once you see a point in your life that you need to kill off, me and Brother Yaki L was talking this Sabbath, and he had on his stole, you know, like a long tunic. And I was like, I want to dress like that. Oh, I got a few of them, but I don't have one where I can wear every day. And the brother said, well, what's the hold up?
out of your flesh. Mm-hmm. It's flesh. So it's a constantly dying daily. But I love that Eastern look. I rather dress that Eastern look than this Western European look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then you're going to have the Hebrew Israelites to pull you up. And, hey, brother, why are you dressing like that? Hey, that's how my ancestors dressed. Mm-hmm. And I like that look better. I feel more comfortable in that look. I feel clean in that look. You know, it's from dying. And some dying, and you feel so good at times because, oh, but you chose me. I mean, wow, you know my background, Paul. You know who I was, who I am. I'm gonna say who I am, who where I'm trying to be. That adopted son, the one that you called up. I'm trying to be that, because I can't sit up here and say I'm that already. I can't be like that, because if I do, I was going to pull the covers off me, like this cover said, and bam, your life is going to be shown to the world to show you you're not like that. And he don't want hypocrites. He wants people who are genuine, who are saying, I messed up. Samuel came to our forefather, David, told him a story about a man that was doing some sinning, and David jumped straight down the man's throat. The man ought to die. Samuel said, the man is you, David. David jumped straight on his knees and repented right then and there. Right then and there. That's what Abba wants. He wants a sincere repentance. Meaning a sincere repentance is, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to try my best to not do that no more. He understood David's mind at that time. That's why he said, David is a man after my own heart. I want to be called like that. You know, when he talks about our forefather Daniel, you are beloved of here, Daniel. I want that. I want when they say Ariel, you beloved up here, Ariel. Because I want to get rid of, first of all, the fear and the selfishness that I have in me. And we're talking about the priest tonight. We had a true priest here that couldn't make it. I'm quite sure their mind was here. We're not going to hold that against them because they couldn't show up. I'm quite sure their mind was here. And something came up. The adversary didn't do that. Whether it be their own selfishness or something legitimately came up. But they are still priests of the Most High. Why? Because he has chosen them. It's like he has chosen every other man that spoke tonight. He has chosen us. And what does Scripture say about that? Who are you to question who I put my righteousness on? That's what he said in the song. And he also repeated it in Romans. I put righteousness on whom I want to put righteousness on. Mm-hmm. And I will not deny the Father has put that on me. I will not deny that. And I will do my best to walk in it and not to disappoint him. So to the rest of my Kohanim brothers, may Yah give you what you need to be here next time. May Yah move some things out the way so you can be here next time. And we know that the Spirit of Yah is on y'all. We know this, and it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to deny oneself. To whom much is given, much is expected. And that's not easy. That's not easy. To walk around and have to be a savior to the rest of the world. Because that's what we ask. What is Yisrael? That's what Yisrael is to the world. Yisrael is the savior of the world. We know that Yahushua did the legwork. He laid down his life. But what did he say to that woman? You know not what you worship. Because salvation is of the Yahudi. He said that out of his own mouth where salvation is.
They're not my words. That's the word of the God, of the Father. He said this. Who is the Savior of this world? I don't thank the brothers who came on and opened up and showed a little glimpse in their lives. We thank them for showing and opening up and telling the truth about them. Because as that wise man said, we can't hide nothing. We should not hide nothing about ourselves. Why? Because Otto won't pull the covers off us anyway. He won't do that anyway. And until next time, next week, I'm going to bid y'all shalom.